go. I will call this hearing of Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee to order. Today is April 29th, 2024. A quorum is present. The first item on the agenda are the minutes. May I have a motion to approve the minutes for April 18th, 2024?
So moved, Chair.
Representative McCurran, thank you. Representative McCurran moves approval of the minutes for April 18th, 2024. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes have been approved. And Representative Carroll will be participating remotely. Our first item on the agenda outside of the minutes is House File 5381. Chair Youakim, are you ready? Please seat yourself and identify yourself for the record.
Yes, as soon as I, there we go. I am Representative Cheryl Youakim. Good afternoon, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. And now, just before we get to the bill, I will note that the provisions under the jurisdiction of the judiciary are Section 1, Subdivision 2, Section 2, Subdivision 3, and Section 5, Subdivision 6 of this bill, just to keep us moving along efficiently. And, Chair, I understand that you have an amendment that you would like to move.
Yes, Chair Frazier, I do have an amendment I'd like to move. Should we move House File 5381.
Yes, we will move the bill. House File 5381, where are we moving it to? Okay, I will move to refer House File 5381 to the Education Committee.
Thank you, and thank you, Chair Frazier, if you can move the A1 amendments.
I will also move the A1 amendment to the amendment.
Thank you. The A1 amendment is just some technical corrections that the nonpartisan staff pointed out.
Any discussion on the A1 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The amendment is adopted. Now we have House File 5381 as amendment. Chair Youakim, do you have testifiers?
Yes. Could I describe the do opening statements real quick?
Yes, you may.
Pass it over. Thank you, Chair Frazier and members. Last year, we funded the development of an Office of Inspector General at the Minnesota Department of Education. In the state government bill, we also increased funding and responsibility for the State Grants Management Office at MMB. The Office of Inspector General at MDE is charged with protecting the integrity of the department by detecting and preventing fraud, waste, and abuse regarding some of the funds they disperse. MDE hired an Inspector General in September of 23, and the work to hire a deputy and establish policies and procedures has been ongoing. As the OIG stood up the office, it became apparent that the office would benefit from a statutory clarity on some of its roles, responsibilities, particularly to align with the civil enforcement tools used by other agencies such as DHS. The Department of Education brought the language you see before you during budget deadline week. So thank you for hearing it today and the substance of the bill that's in civil law that Chair Frazier pointed out already. Those sections establish subpoena power and discuss data practices. I know that MDE has been working collaboratively with all the other agencies on this language, and they've reached out to educational organizations that represent our school districts and who have expressed concerns. There are a few folks here today to testify on the areas of concerns. I've also spoken to MDE at length about some of the concerns I had. We've all been working together on a way to better define the office as well as tailor the bill to what the legislative intent was when we funded the office in last year's education budget. The work will be continuing, and we do have an amendment on the floor that was, we had a noon deadline today, so we have an amendment on the floor that shows some of the byproduct of that, and I've also been working with Representative West on a secondary. This is the first OIG that will be developed in statute, and we really want to make sure we get it right. So I do appreciate whatever input you have today so we can talk about that even more in conference. And normally in conference committee, you don't accept a lot of testimony, but our intent is to have some testimony on this section as well, just so we can have that thorough vetting. And with that, I have one person here to testify, and I know that there are a few others signed up as well. So I will turn it over to Maren Holden, who is general counsel for Minnesota Department of Education.
Ms. Holden, please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and then proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Frazier. My name is Maren Holden, and I serve as General Counsel for the Minnesota Department of Education. Thank you so much for taking the time to hear this bill today, and thank you very much, Chair Youakim, for your leadership on it. MDE, we are committed to ensuring that the programs and funds that we administer are used in service of their intended purposes and for the intended beneficiaries. Establishing an Office of the Inspector General was a significant step in that direction by the legislature last year. And as Chair Youakim said, as we've worked to implement and build the office and do its work, we've identified several pieces that we believe are necessary to best fulfill the responsibilities of rooting out fraud, waste, and abuse. So the main pieces here, included here, are to ensure that OIG has both access to information that will help uncover fraud, waste, and abuse, and has the enforcement tools to do something about any fraud, waste, or abuse that is found. Specifically, I would highlight kind of three overarching main pieces in the language in front of you. First, establishing subpoena power, which is a typical power that most agency OIGs have across the state. Second, clarifying access to records. And kind of delineating that out when a subpoena might be necessary for certain types of records. And then third, delineating specific enforcement tools to stop the misuse of public funds. And those enforcement tools, as Chair Youakim said, were really developed in consultation with other agencies, OIGs, specifically DHS, and what we anticipate will be part of the OIG tools that the new DCYF has. Considering that some of pieces of MDE's programming are moving to DCYF, we thought it would be helpful for those there to be a lot of congruence there. So we worked really closely with other state agencies and their OIGs, specifically on the data access piece and the enforcement tool pieces. And so as a result, much of this language tracks those other agencies. We've also really been very grateful for many discussions with other groups who have different like input on the language, some of whom might be speaking today, I believe, and we're really committed to working with all of you and legislators and other interested parties to really get this right. We do think this is really important, and we just want to make sure that we are best set up to ensure that MDE has the tools necessary to ensure our strong stewardship of public dollars. So thank you so much for the chance to hear the bill, and thank you again, Chair Youakim, for your leadership.
Thank you for your testimony. I do see we have two public testifiers signed up. Well, now I'll call up Mr. Roger Aronson. And then Terry Morrow on deck. Mr. Aronson, please introduce yourself for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Roger Aronson. I represent the Minnesota Association of Secondary School Principals. What happens in K-12 very often is we have a management group of the various organizations, and we kind of nominate some folks to come in and testify on behalf of all the groups. And you have me and Mr. Morrow here this morning, but also this is going to represent some of the concerns that the Minnesota Rural Education Association has, MASA, the Superintendent's Organization, AMSD, and a few other groups as well. A couple things we want to talk about here are I think our major concern is, and you're all aware that this language passed last year in a very expansive K-12 bill that provided an awful lot of money to schools and also an awful lot of changes in schools, and the Inspector General provision was one of those. And so while this language is brand new last year, we're back here working on it already, trying to look at how is this going to work and what it's going to cover. The scope of last year's language is something that we want to talk to you about. We don't believe that there was an intent to create another investigative body to work on school districts and charter schools. We think there were other matters that drove the creation of this office and the adoption of this legislation. The department has significant oversight prior to this language over schools and to come in and look at what they're doing with the funds and how we're spending them. And, you know, we divide schools into kind of two groups. Everybody's public schools, but we have traditional public schools with elected boards, and then we have charter schools that don't have publicly elected boards. Last year, the charter schools actually, in a case, an individual charter school, asserted that the department was substantially limited in their ability to come in and audit and investigate some of the numbers and how they were counting their pupil units. The Minnesota Court of Appeals said that they were wrong in that, and in fact that the department had substantial authority to come in, investigate them, audit them, and then limit the aid that they were going to get as a result of some numbers being wrong. That type of authority exists already then relative to public schools with the state auditor also having authority to come in and the annual audits that are required locally. So we don't think that expanding, you know, the jurisdiction to investigate schools is something that we should take lightly. We think that should be something you take slowly as you enter into that because, and I think as you all know, particularly on this committee, once you venture into that realm of adding powers to this office, they're never going to be limited again. And so we want you to look at that very closely. As the chair pointed out, there's an amendment tomorrow on the floor to the K-12 bill with a lot of this language in it that does substantially limit this office, and we think that's a good idea. We're glad to see that. I want to say, I want to make very, very clear, we really value our relationship with the department. We have for a long time and work with them. As Maren Halden told you a moment ago, she set up calls with us to visit about these provisions and express these types of concerns. And it's the best way to design these things is talking about them carefully, and we appreciate that very much, Mr. Chair, and we look forward to working on this more as it goes through the process. So thank you, Mr. Chair,
thank
and
you,
members.
Anderson. Mr. Morrow, please come up, introduce yourself, say your pronouns if you'd like, and proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Terry Morrow. I'm the General Counsel for the Minnesota School Boards Association. We echo much of what Mr. Erickson just said. I would like to direct your attention to lines 1.14 through 1.17 in the bill. The Office of Inspector General must develop a public platform for the public to report instances of public potential fraud, waste, or abuse of public funds administered by the department. It's very important for me to note MSBA and the other ed organizations, we welcome accountability. We welcome transparency. We have many agencies already that do and should look into the way that schools use funds. In addition, we have many federal and state agencies that look into complaints concerning school operations more generally, including the Office of Civil Rights and others. Right now, there's a case in Minnesota appellate courts concerning a taxpayer who sued the Minneapolis School District over a contract that the school board and the teachers' union voluntarily agreed to and ratified. The taxpayer is claiming that the contract between the teachers and the district is discriminatory. The question before the appellate court right now is, does the taxpayer have standing to bring a lawsuit against a school district for a contract voluntarily entered into? The language I just read between 1.14 and 1.17 is a dramatic increase in what, Mr. Chair, I might call standing. Any member of the public can bring any complaint claiming fraud, waste, and abuse. And because this Office of Inspector General is so new, we don't know what that will mean in terms of operations. We don't know what that will mean in terms of these powers. We don't know what that will mean in terms of school time, resources, and money to respond to any complaint, that any concern, potential complaint, that might be brought forward. Again, we welcome transparency. We will be accountable. But the language as it sits here right now is incredibly broad. Thus, we remain committed to work with the department, and we are grateful to the department for working with us, to working with all of you, to ensure that this language does what is intended to do and doesn't go much further and in an expansive way that may cause unintended problems for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. There are no other testifiers signed up, but at this time, is there anyone from the public that would like to testify? Seeing none, we will move to member discussion. Representative Weins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Joachim, for this bill. I intend to support it. I think it's a good bill. It's a first step. I think many on this side of the table would say, hey, we should have done this a long time ago. But for oversight, accountability, transparency, all of those things are important for all government agencies. To make certain that we're reporting back to the citizens. My experience with IGs in a different government agency has been that they're independent and they have the ability to conduct their investigations and make their decisions in their report. And in all, it becomes an education process with the OIGs that I've served with. And many would always fear of having an IG investigation, but in many ways it can alleviate any rumors or any issues, and I think this is a step in the right direction, and I support this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Joachim, for the bill. I'm wondering, I know this is, I'm assuming the late introduction numbers because there have been a lot of talks going on, and I understand they're still ongoing. Has the person that you hired as the OIG, have they been a part of every single one of those conversations?
Chair Joachim.
Mr. Chair and Representative Scott, I would have to ask MDE about that because that isn't within their realm. But I do know that we will be talking to him directly before we get to conference committee. But we have been working mostly with the outside stakeholders and with our own folks and with MDE, with the assumption that MDE has been sharing all the language with the OIG. But you could maybe, if you want to call up MDE and ask.
And staff here like to respond? Come on down. Please introduce yourself for the record, show your pronouns if you like, and proceed to the question that was asked.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Ado Shuni. I'm the Director of Government Relations with the Minnesota Department of Education. Appreciate the opportunity. Representative Scott, we have been looking at the draft that we put together at the Department of Education was in collaboration with the Inspector General. Chair Joachim, at the beginning of session, had a hearing on kind of an update of how the department is doing with implementation of a range of programs, and one of those updates included the Inspector General coming and talking about how the office has been set up. And he did kind of discuss where the program is going, where the office is going, and talked about kind of where we could look into places for improvement. So he's been involved in the step of the process all the way, and he has seen drafts moving up and has provided input along the way.
Lee Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Uni. I don't suppose he's in the room, is he? The Inspector General?
Mr. Chair, Representative Scott, he is not. Ms. Halden, our General Counsel, is here today to represent us.
Lee Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would have liked to have just questioned him, I guess, because I want to make sure if we're going to do this that we're giving that person in that role the authority that they need to carry out an investigation. And then I just have some questions for the bill author, if I might, Mr. Chair. Representative Joachim, can you kind of give us a comparison how this Office of Inspector General might compare to, say, the DHS Inspector General? Are they an apples-to-apples comparison? Does one have more authority than the other? If you could kind of give us an idea.
Chair Joachim.
Thank you, Chair Frazier. Representative Scott, that is a really good question. I received this language very late and focused on the issues around making sure that the oversight that was already around our school districts and charters was not part of the OIG, because when we stood at the office, the legislative intent was to look for waste, fraud, and abuse with areas that we contract outside our traditional school districts. DHS functions a lot differently than that because they're passed through from federal dollars. They fund programs directly, whereas with MDE, we fund by state constitution. We fund a public form of school districts. And then, as you all know, there has been a lot of grant money going out, different places districts contract with. So that has been our focus on those different contracts and the grant money and making sure that is part of the whole thing. So that is where we have been focusing on. What you'll see with the draft language, but that was the legislative intent, and I've already lost my train of thought. It's already been a long week. Could you report that last question that you had?
Lee Scott.
Thank you. No, that pretty much answered my question. Again, I just want to make sure that if we're going to do this, that this person has the authority they need. Two remaining questions. One is on 4.28 and 4.29. That legislation, or that those lines talk about a pattern of presentment of false or duplicate information and a pattern of making false statements. And I just wondered what the thinking was there with putting the word pattern in there, because you could have instances where, you know, there wasn't necessarily a pattern, but there was still, you know, millions of dollars that were being misused. So I'm just wondering what the thought was behind that, and then I have one final question after that.
Mr. Chair, you again.
Thank you, Chair Frazier. I was just going to ask for latitude because that's not one of the sections you're supposed to be looking at. Should I still answer?
Could proceed.
Okay. That is part of the section we rewrote with the amendment that's been posted online because we had some of the same questions around that.
And we, members, we do have the amendment if you'd like to share it, floor amendment that Chair Yoakim has referenced.
That's yeah, that'd be great. That's up to the chair.
Okay.
That goes out or not. But
it's 8:32.
We'll have it sent via email.
So okay.
Get in your box.
Perfect. Thank you. And then my final question, Mr. Chair, if I might.
Go ahead.
I don't see any whistleblower protection in here. And we know that a lot of times the people that are on the inside are the ones that find the fraud. Is that part of this new amendment, Chair Yoakim?
Chair Yoakim.
Thank you, Chair Frazier. Thank you, Representative Scott. It's like you're channeling Representative Representative West. He's working on that in the secondary. We just spoke about it this morning.
Okay.
I think he's referencing a statute in Minnesota law already that would protect the Inspector General and have that whistleblower provisions because that is already encompassing, but we'd put belts and suspenders in with the secondary.
Lee Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for answering the questions.
Mm-hmm. Any other member discussion? Representative Feist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you so much, Representative Yoakim, for all of your work on this. I am really glad to see the direction that this bill is going to be moving. The issues raised by Representative Scott around those provisions, which were pretty expansive, were really problematic, and I think the definitions that are going to be added are going to be really critical to ensuring that this if it functions as intended. I also am really looking forward to narrowing the access by the OIG around student data, because right now it's the lines like 2.19 and on. Those sections would encompass a lot of private personal data of students, and I know the amendment is going to narrow that access to like participating programs rather than the schools and charter schools. So I just wanted to flag all of the work you've done on this. I'm really grateful. You brought me in on this, and I was like, whoa. So thank you for all of your work. I think this is we're making important progress.
Any other member discussion? Seeing none, I will renew my motion to re-refer House File. Wait just a second. Do you have any closing comments?
Thank you, Chair Frazier. I'm all for expediency, too. I just want to thank Representative Feist for her work as well, Representative Pinto and Representative West collaboration, and Representative Scott and Weens for your questions. And I look forward to continuing this work in conference committee. We just want to make sure that not only does the OIG have the tools that they need, but since this will be the first office really fleshed out in statute, that we do a good job. So look forward to the continuing conversations.
Thank you, members, for the good discussion. Thank you, Chair Yoakim, for the presentation. I will renew my motion to re-refer House File 5381 as amended to the Education Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails. You're on your way. I will now take the hot seat. Chair Feist.
Vice Chair Frazier, would you like to move to re-refer House File 5363 to the Commerce, Finance, and Policy Committee?
Madam Chair, that is my motion.
Thank you, Vice Chair Feist. Do you have any opening comments?
Yes, briefly. This is the technical fix bill, mostly technical fix bill for the Paid Family Medical Leave Act, which is a really big deal. We did something great for Minnesotans in the last session. We are now making sure that we put things in place. We've hired a new director. We've had staff from DEED look through this bill. We're continuing to have conversations to make sure that we put forward a leave plan that not only are we doing something that is not really prevalent in the nation, but we're doing something that is prevalent around the world, and that's a big deal. We're giving people the opportunity to have paid leave when they need that leave, and to make sure they don't go into financial ruin when those moments come about in their lives. So we are here today to talk about a few specific sections that relate to the Judiciary Committee, and I'm looking forward to having the conversation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Vice Chair. And should I mention which sections was that? Yeah, there are a lot of sections. So great. We have one individual who has signed up ahead of time to testify, Mr. Evan Rowe, Deputy Commissioner Evan Rowe.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'll be brief, like
Please introduce yourself.
Oh, sorry. My name is Evan Rowe. I'm Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Employment and Economic Development, and I will likewise be brief. The sections of the bill before you today are primarily focused on two areas of the law. One is clarifying appeals rights and processes under the paid leave law. These provisions are heavily modeled on the well-known unemployment insurance provisions, so that appellants can expect a similar process and procedure to what is currently known and understood, with a few changes that are relevant to the nature of the paid leave program. The second piece is data practices elements. But happy to answer any questions on the specifics related to those sections of the bill today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And before we move to member discussion, is there anyone else from the public who would like to testify? Seeing no one, we will move to member discussion. Are there any questions? Representative Scott?
Thank you, Madam Chair. in regard to the appeals process, could you kind of walk us through some of the changes that you are making in that because my understanding is it's allowing employers and employees to have an appeals process. If you could just elaborate for the committee what that looks like, it would be helpful.
Madam Chair, Representative Scott, thank you for the question. So I think the existing paid leave law, the appeal section is relatively short, and so what we're really trying to do is just enumerate those components in this bill. You're absolutely correct that the proposed legislation delineates a very specific set of appealable issues for both applicants and, as appropriate, employers, and it really ties into elements that are required to manage the program. So as an example, an applicant can appeal to the program for based on a determination in the program. These are all in subdivision 2 of the proposed section. Financial eligibility, covered employment elements, whether money paid constitutes wages, denials, etc. Additionally, employers have appeal rights regarding covered employment and a variety of other components in the law. And part of the objective of this legislation, it's moving all the appealable issues into this section so that it's very clear what is appealable, what is appealable, what the deadlines are, and just to try to make for a legible process.
Thanks. Follow up?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So I don't see like a fiscal note. Is there a fiscal note accompanying this bill, Madam Chair, or to the bills out there?
Representative Frazier.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. We are working on the fiscal note. I will, Deputy Commissioner, if you want to add to that, but we expect to have a fiscal note and we'll share it as soon as we have it.
Mr. Rowe?
And the only thing I would say is we don't anticipate any additional costs that were not contemplated in the previous fiscal note specifically relating to the appeals section. We think that the resources under the law are sufficient for managing appeals in that regard.
Thank you. Hello?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So do you have any estimated data? Because my understanding is that employers in the first, what we passed last year, employers didn't have the ability to appeal, and now they will. And so to me, that would, in addition to the other changes in this, it would send a message to me that there should be a change in what the cost would be.
Mr. Rowe?
Madam Chair, Representative Scott, I would just say in the original law, the appeals section in that bill was in the paid leave law was again I'd say briefer. I would say that we anticipated some level of appeals from employers when we were pulling together the fiscal note last year. I would say that as we've been working to implement the program, I think we have a better understanding of what all is required. But that being said, we believe that the resources that are currently in place for the program administration would be sufficient to be able to manage this.
Thanks. Representative Scott?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I find that really interesting. If you look at the independent study that was done and released, I think, this past fall, Milliman or whatever the name of the company was that did the actuarial study, it showed that we're going to be woefully underfunded in this program. And to add on, to say that what was funded last year was adequate is not really accurate. And then we're adding on, I don't know how many pages here of change we've got in this bill. But I just have great concern that we're not going to be able to pay for all of this.
Representative Frazier?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Scott, I see where you're going, but what we're specifically talking about in this section that's before the committee here is this appeals process. And what I hear the Deputy Commissioner saying is that is accounted for, and I don't believe that would increase any of the fiscal costs for the program.
Thank you. Any follow-up?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Frazier, you're saying that a fiscal note has been requested. Is it in process right now?
That is my understanding, that we are seeking a fiscal note, but we don't believe it will have any impact on this particular section before this committee.
Any further questions?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. But we don't know that because we don't have the fiscal note. We don't know if there's going to be additional costs, or what's commonly being done around here these days is the agency's just going to absorb the cost, because we're going to be running into a deficit coming biennium. So I think that this... I understand that we just have this one couple of sections that the reason for the bill being in this committee, but all of these changes are interconnected, and I think that we should tap the brakes on this until we get a fiscal note. Now, I understand that it's going to, I think, Commerce next, and so hopefully by the time it gets to Commerce, there'll be a fiscal note, but I certainly wouldn't want to, see this coming to the floor without a fiscal note accompanying it. So those are my only comments, Madam Chair.
Are there any further comments by the members? Seeing none, any closing comments, Representative Frazier?
Madam Chair, only that the goal of this is moving forward to make sure we have everything in place that is necessary to make sure we have a smooth running program to give the benefit that we promised to all Minnesotans.
Right. Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, Vice Chair Frazier renews his motion to re-refer House File 5363 to the Commerce, Finance, and Policy Committee. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion prevails. And seeing no further business before the committee, we are adjourned. Thank you.